Welcome to Blueprint for Wealth, your fast-paced half hour or so video cast that's designed to help you realize your personal dreams of wealth and freedom. And it features entrepreneurs and special guests who have special stories to tell. Today, my special guest is JC Spratt, and she has a very interesting story to tell you about the journey that she's been on. So let's dig in. She's a facilitator. She's a leadership trainer. She's also a certified career and leadership coach with the ICF, the International Coaching Federation. And she spent 25 years developing this expertise in coaching and training and the like. And before she founded Same Page Consulting in 2016, she spent 14 years in the international development sector. And we're going to talk about that today. She was with two companies, Chemonix International and DAI Global. As a consultant, she worked with the World Bank, USAID, and USDA in more than 40 organizations, for-profits, nonprofits, universities, in a facilitation, leadership training, and organizational development capacity. She also manages a coaching practice that focuses on client career development and leadership. JC holds a BA in psychology and Spanish from the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill and an MA in international education from Columbia University. Welcome to the show. Thanks for being a special guest on Blueprint for Wealth.
Thanks so much, Wayne. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, so I'm excited to have you. And I think there's a really interesting story to tell, particularly in light of recent changes. But before we get to that, give us a little bit more flavor on the background of how you've gotten to where you are today, and specifically what you've experienced over the last few months, given changes in our government.
Absolutely. And I would just say my story sort of represents one of hundreds of thousands of people kind of experiencing shocks and incredible change at the moment. But as you talked about in your introduction, I'm a facilitator, I'm a leadership trainer, I'm also a certified coach. I've worked in the international development sector for more than 22 years, loved it, did a ton of facilitating for the agency itself, as well as many of the implementing partners who received USAID money. So that would be doing a team building, doing a strategy session, leading them through a change management process, different types of assignments, also doing their leadership training, as well as working individually with clients in a coaching capacity. And I think in total, I worked with over 40 organizations. I started my own business, as you mentioned, in 2016, and have been doing that ever since, and just building it slowly from the ground up. It was awesome. And then as far as what happened...
Before we do that, I want to give a little bit of background, because I don't think people really understand the good work that USAID was doing around the world and why it was effectively such an important agency. What was USAID doing, and what were you helping folks do?
Yeah, so USAID itself was founded in 1961 under JFK. And it's really the development wing when you think about sort of the triangle of defense, diplomacy, and then it's the third as far as international development. Some people also call it soft power. And it's responsible for foreign aid around the world. So it works in areas like economic growth, global health and education, as well as providing humanitarian assistance, such as food aid. If there is a disaster, it provides relief. And that's both disasters that are natural, as well as human caused, particularly in war-torn countries. And it works in some of the hardest, just most difficult environments. And I'm biased having worked in the sector, but I truly believe it's some of the best work in the world. And I would say, having worked with thousands of sector colleagues, they don't fall into the work, they're called to it.
Give me one or two examples of things that you witnessed USAID doing around the world that helped people.
Yeah. Okay. Where do I even start? What comes to mind is the first one. I mean, there's truly so many, but there's one I think about. I think it was 2005 when the earthquake hit Haiti. And my company at the time, called Chemonix International, received direct funding to go and literally go into the rubble to, help Haitians affected. So many were affected. Many were killed, and there was just widespread devastation. And I think about a colleague I have specifically. She landed there on the day of the earthquake, and she was working. She'd worked at Chemonix, and then she had gone to a small organization to work on tourism. They were working in the tourism sector, and she was with about four other colleagues, and they had just gotten there. The three colleagues went to go have a coffee. She was tired from the journey and decided to go take a nap. And during her nap, the earthquake happened.
Oh,
And
wow.
subsequently, she was buried and trapped in the rubble for about 24 to 36 hours. I'm not sure the exact amount of time. Ultimately, she was pulled out and saved.
My
Did
goodness.
have damage to her arm. Her other three colleagues tragically did not make it. And she's a dear friend. Going through that experience was obviously transformative for her. But these are the kinds of people that work in our sector, and they just want to do good work.
They're trying to help people who can't
Exactly.
help themselves.
Exactly. Who just, by where they were born, just are a lot less fortunate.
You know, the argument that those who have disparaged USAID say that, well, there was just too much corruption and waste in the sector, and why should we be helping people outside the United States? What would be your response to that?
First of all, it's not true. In any government agency, you're going to find, some waste, fraud, and abuse. But USAID was so heavily monitored, every dollar that was spent. And I can say this because I worked at a firm that actually implemented the money. People are so careful to be good stewards of US government money. And again, it's incredible to see the sort of maligning of the work the sector did. And of course, yes, could some stuff, have been modified, in any government agency, right? But 99% of the work was incredible work, and that Americans should be proud of. And I do feel these are values we should all hold to help those less fortunate.
Yeah, I mean, it's
Just being
pretty
a good
simple.
human.
It's pretty simple. If you care about other people, then this is a great purpose and a great agency. Tell us now what you've experienced professionally over the last 3 months.
It's been unreal, honestly. I thought about it, before coming on, and I would say, the first, it's funny, I was speaking to some friends at a happy hour that work in the sector, and we're talking, it was like 3 weeks that we went through all this. And my friend looked and he said, "What are you talking about? It was 8 days to dismantle it." And that's really what happened. Trump came in and there was the stop work order, and that immediately, paused all work all over the world. Organizations couldn't get paid, because USAID didn't have, the funds to do it. And then you have the ripple effect of, layoffs and furloughs. Everyone I know is out of work. So what have I
I
been
have
doing?
two specific clients that were devastated by this. They provide services to the government through USAID and, to try to help people all around the world in Africa and Asia, et cetera. And they basically have, the businesses have been shut down as a result of this prophylactic effect of what the administration has done, without any inquiry. Without any investigation, without any knowledge or facts. They just went in, shut everything down, and all these people who were overseas had to be brought back on their own dollar or on my client's dollar, basically subsidizing the transport to bring these people back from remote areas around the world
Absolutely.
where they were helping people. It's a horrible story.
It's a horrible story. I have a friend who had just moved to Zambia
Oh,
to
my.
do project work, brought her kids, met her husband who also worked for USAID, and that was in January. They're back now and trying to pick up the pieces from all this. And like I said, that's just one of hundreds of stories. And I think what
Thousands.
really gets me is the beneficiaries who receive HIV/AIDS meds or malaria meds or actually, the earthquake in Myanmar last week, that a USAID team would have been out there within a couple of days, actually within a day. I mean, they move and they help right away. It's really hard.
So you have been affected directly, and so many people have been affected directly. Go through the psychology that you went through over the last 3 months and where you are today.
Yeah, great question. Goodness. So I personally was about 95%, USAID and implementing partner funded. They would hire me and, like I talked about, a facilitation, leadership training, or a coaching capacity. So that was the hugest part of my business. I have a couple of non-USAID or non-sector clients, and I've retained those.
Good.
But I will say it was awful. The first part, it was grief, shock, and it was like mourning 22 years of my life. And it maybe sounds dramatic to say it was like going through a death, having lost people in
No,
my
I
life.
don't think it's
It felt like
dramatic. I think it's realistic. I think it's, what you're experiencing is real. It's not something that you're inflating the feelings or the impact of what happened to you or others. But you somehow have been able to show your resilience and you're starting to adapt and you're pivoting. Tell us, okay, you got through this really tough time. And when I first talked to you a while back, it was a huge struggle. Where are you today?
And when I met with you, it was sort of in the height of that pain and grief. I'm honestly much better today. I'm obviously very worried, like so many of us are, about the macro level of what's going on in our country, and I'm worried about, all the alliances we have worldwide. So, that sits on me. But at a personal level, I'm much better. I'm, coming out of that grief. I'm really focused for my own career on what I personally can control. And there's a model I love that looks at, they call it the circle of control, the circle of influence, and then the circle of concern. And that circle of control is really where I like to stay in these days. And that's where I'm able to take action, for moving forward, for rebuilding, for, meeting new people. Networking, really just looking for opportunity and coming out of that space of grief to open up to what is possible. Some days are really hard or some hours are hard, but I
Yeah,
do
I mean,
find
we all have hard days, and people
absolutely.
go through incredible struggles in their lives to overcome them. Are you now coaching or helping others who were at USAID? How can you help them? I mean, one of the questions I had for you was, you're a coach. You're a natural at helping people through their challenges and to overcome their challenges and seek opportunity. What is it that you bring to the table? Obviously, your personal experience is very relatable to somebody who's going through these changes themselves. How have you been able to adapt, and what are you doing to help others in this changing time?
Exactly. That's a great question. And that was really, the first thing I was focused on was, okay, I'm a coach. I know this sector. And then all of a sudden it's gone. How can I be of service? And, there's a lot of work I've been doing in that regard. I mean, the sector, what's amazing is the way it's come together and, just people, trying to help where they can, advocating for each other. Building each other up, sharing, potential job opportunities. That's been amazing to watch. And I personally have done a lot of, free coaching, some, minimally paid. The thing I'm most proud of is some former colleagues and dear friends. We started a program called Taking Back Control of Your Career. We did this early on because we knew people would need help. And it really helps. Involves coaching. It also involves recruitment and resume writing support, interviewing preparation, help with salary negotiations, as well as personal branding, helping people get their LinkedIn profiles ready. We do it in a seminar style. And that for me has been the most meaningful. It's given me purpose, it's given me a sense of agency, and just meeting others. And even old colleagues have come and sat in on it, affected by all this. it's been really humbling and really awesome, honestly.
Tell me a little bit more about these seminars, because I think people need, who may be listening to this, are people that may have been affected by this, as well as, entrepreneurs that may have worked in the sector. How can they find out more about how they can be resilient, how they can adapt, like you have already done or are doing?
I'm doing. I wouldn't say done,
You're
but
not
I'm
done. You've got a
in
ways. We all have a
the
ways to go
process. Yeah. No,
to
it's
get
a
over
journey.
this, but.
It's a real journey. We have tons of information out there, and
Is there a
we want.
website
Yeah,
that
there's a
you guys
website.
have?
It's actually hosted on my colleague's website. He has a business called Head Global. Really inspiring guy. Headglobal.com. Happy to send it to you if you want to broadcast it, but. It isn't just for international development employees. It really does reach other federal government workers who've been affected by,
Right.
the massive cuts. It's
Yeah, I
really.
was talking with somebody the other night at a party, and two of them, two different employees of the Department of Justice, which is supposedly in charge of the FBI, which is supposedly in charge of enforcing the laws of the United States and making sure that people are abiding by those laws. These are people that have been spent their whole careers with the Department of Justice doing good things. Just as USAID is doing. So these are people that also could learn from some of the things that you're doing, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. And we really just want to provide a safe space. People have been through so much hardship and trauma. We want to provide this safe and encouraging space. And we also want to provide a cohort of others going through the same thing. This is a really lonely time for people trying to, especially those, well, honestly, for everybody, but you've got people who've been doing this work for 30 years, all of a sudden, shockingly out of a job. So there's just so much need for support, for a place where they can, feel safe and feel that they've got, the support they need to move forward.
If you could see your professional future, so others who are similarly affected can sort of learn from what you're thinking and what you're doing, where would you be in a year or 3 years or 5 years?
Good question. Well, when this all first happened, I felt destroyed as I saw when I saw you, and I just thought there's no way I can rebuild same page and I'm gonna just get a job, go back to work full time, and that's where I was. But as I moved through the process, I did start to feel more energy and helping, as we talked about doing the seminar, coaching, networking with people like you, Wayne, it's just been everything. And I would say I'm just getting more open to different possibilities. And if I look ahead to where I want to be 1, 2, 3 years, I don't want to survive. I want to thrive because I did thrive for 8.5 years. And I love what I do. I think I do a pretty good job of it. And I just have to rebuild it. And I have to be open to all sorts of possibilities. So I'm hopeful and I'm excited, honestly.
So, in your journey, what are the first steps that somebody must be willing to take to adapt and show their resilience?
Great question. And I would also add it's affecting so many overseas too, who worked in USAID missions around the world, who implemented development projects. And I talked about the beneficiaries of USAID. It's tragic, and it's cruel. But I would say for me personally, I thought about this for a while. And the first thing is that it's okay to feel grief and pain. You have to feel it to get through it. But you can't get stuck in it, right? You will get sucked in, but it is normal and honestly needed to go through it. The second thing is that you ultimately have to focus on what you personally can control, right? Taking small action steps, there's such a sense of overwhelm, for my colleagues trying to find new jobs who are getting rejected left and right because the job market is brutal. For me and my rebuilding, but you have to just keep pushing yourself forward.
Right.
Small action steps, celebrate those. Like I talked about that model, focus on what you personally can control. When you talked about physically, I say like stay active, eat well, take care of yourself. fill your cup in whatever way that happens. Actually, I had one woman in my sector and, just had lost everything. We talked about, kind of what are you doing to take care of yourself? She says, I'm doing a triathlon. And I came out of there like, wow, you are incredible. But the face of humans in times of, strife is incredible. The resilience that we don't know we have, but we do. And I would say,
For all the people that are suffering around the world that were being helped by USAID and the people at USAID and the contractors that work with it, the agency, how is there anyone stepping in to fill the gap in services? Is the nonprofit world, for example, stepping up, or are there nonprofits being formed to establish the ability to help where the government was helping before? Okay, if the government is not able to do so because the funding has been cut off, whether it's legal or not, it's been cut off. Is anyone stepping up to fill the gap?
That's a great question. And I think right now it really is too early to say how all of this is going to shake out. I mean, we're still really in the immediate, sort of aftermath of it all. Only last week did USAID employees finally receive their RIF, the reduction in force and separation, papers. And so again, things are changing at breakneck speed. Most of the implementing partners have already, and these are the NGOs, the contractors that work with, that received US government funding. And most of them, if they haven't gone out of business, like the ones you spoke about, are just a shell version of themselves. But as far as what's to come, there was some work retained. I can't remember the exact percentage, but it was really, really small.
Right.
Those projects will be folded into the State Department. And that's, happening within the next few months. And so we don't really know. I think obviously there's the desire to step in. Now, I don't know to what extent you could ever, have something like, what existed at USAID with all of that, capacity and expertise.
What
It's
about, I mean, one of the things I always think about, because I do a lot of work in the nonprofit sector. What about going to these giant foundations that support various, purposes and functions, charitable functions? The demand is there. And so
Absolutely.
it's creating the supply from another source. If the US government is not going to step up and do what it was chartered to do, are there nonprofits that are willing to step in, and not just, public charities, but private foundations, money that can come from private sources to help fund the efforts to help people all around the world, not just in, the United States? I mean, it's important to help people in the US, obviously.
Course.
But what about, are there others that are stepping up, not just NGOs, but, nonprofit organizations, private foundations, both in the US and abroad? Has anyone started to tap into that funding source to,
Definitely. Oh yeah.
I mean,
And I
tell me what
encourage
you've
anyone,
heard.
who hasn't listened to Bill Gates, who runs an incredible foundation called the Gates Foundation, doing,
And
life-saving
Melinda
work.
Gates too,
And
yeah.
Melinda Gates, excuse me.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you. I had just watched an interview with him, which I thought was fantastic. But foundations are definitely trying to step up and do as much as they can to fill in the gap. Like I said, I think it's an incredibly hard gap to fill. But I do anticipate, there will be others stepping in. And in time, I think it's, again, we don't know how all this is going to shake out, but I anticipate the sector coming back in some form, but not what existed, beginning in 1961.
Yeah.
But absolutely. And the people I work with, are all motivated by doing social good and plan to continue that work in another form. Some looking at foundations, some, pivoting to state and local governments, which, by the way, are doing an amazing job opening a space for, federal government employees who've been affected by all this. So kudos to them.
But tell me, what is your best advice for people who are navigating this, severe shock, this severe pivot? And what advice do you wish that you'd had received before this ever happened?
Love that question. I'd say it's pretty simple. The first is to give help where you can. in my case, as a coach, I've been able to provide that service. I'm not, a particularly political person. Some people are going to marches, some people are writing letters. I try to do that as I can, but where I know I can make a difference is at that individual level, helping others, being a safe space, providing support during this incredibly hard time. So I would say, that's my first piece of advice, and it's meaningful and impactful for me.
So try to help others
Try
just
to
as
help
you would
others.
want to be helped yourself.
And then there's a second part, which is just that, is take help, accept it. Meeting with you, Wayne, was so inspirational for me when I was in the throes of despair. And I loved when you said, I'm a manifester. And that really spoke to me, where, you just take action where you can. Meet with everyone who's willing to meet with you. You never know. It was funny. I was doing a networking call with a friend who has kids around the same age, and there wasn't really synergy between us, but then she spoke about what her husband does, and I was like, oh, wow, that's exactly what I do in leadership training and coaching. And he and I had an awesome conversation and are gonna, keep, talking, and he's introducing me to people at his organization. So you just never know. So accept the help where you can.
Well,
Don't
your skill set is conducive to helping people at USAID, but also helping people in any sector, for profit or otherwise. And that's what I was hopeful that you will continue to use your skill set to expand your ability to help people in all sectors. And so it's coaching is a really valuable skill. If you
Definitely.
know how to do it, and you've been doing it a long time and you're certified, I think that's really, really a very important skill to have. And the fact that you've got it doesn't mean that you have to be limited to what you were doing most of the time. You could do other stuff.
Yeah, it's a big wide world up there, and I think that's the thing I've learned about in the last 2 months that I think I didn't know back in January. And it's pretty inspiring to see all the work that's relevant, and that I could pivot to.
So, how can people get in touch with you if they want to hire you or talk to you about some of the issues that they're suffering from, and
Absolutely.
how to navigate that? How do they get in touch with you,
So
JC?
I'm on LinkedIn, JC Spratt. You can also look at my website, excuse me. It's www.samepageconsult.com.
Okay.
But either one of those, LinkedIn's probably the easiest. Most of us are on LinkedIn these days.
We'll put that in the notes underneath the subheading as we're publishing this for everybody's consumption. And I really want to, first of all, I congratulate you on coming out of a very difficult, incredibly difficult transition, and looking ahead into the future and building from that, and building yourself into somebody that has faced extreme adversity and being resilient and adapting and now pivoting. I congratulate you for that, and continue to do it because you will succeed. I believe in you, and I believe in everyone out there who's listening that is suffering from, the after effects of this radical change that's going on in our government. We're not going to be defeated. We're going to overcome. And I think you're a great example of that. So I congratulate you for that.
Thank you so much, Wayne.
And thanks for being a special guest on Blueprint for Wealth. And for the listeners out there who have been affected by the changes that are being wrought in our government, there's hope. Don't give up. We'll all make it through this as a country and as people who've been affected by this, whether we're affected directly or indirectly, or we're empathetic with those who've been affected by it. Keep your heads up and think ahead and think positively, and have
This
a
is a
great
really hard season, but I
thank you.
believe in this country and what we stand for, and we're going to get through
Absolutely.
it.
Absolutely. We do good things for people because we care about people, and that's the most important thing. So don't stop caring and keep your chins up. Have a great week, and we'll see you next time on Blueprint for Wealth.